For hundreds of years, mariners and aviators have avoided an area called the Bermuda Triangle. Today, on The Phil Hendry Show, we'll investigate this mysterious, unheard of, unspeakable phenomenon. The Bermuda Triangle. What's going on? Why are ships, planes, and even people missing?
Well, it's quite a shock to me. Go to the airport, you know, to find your wife, and she's not there. And the plane, they say, has been taken by God knows what. I've read in the paper extraterrestrials, you see, and I've got no concept of it.
The Bermuda Triangle appears in all kinds of literature and all kinds of mythology of peoples around the globe. But traversing this area in the Atlantic Ocean has proven deadly for a great many. There's the famous ship, the SS Maracaibo, and, of course, the skyliner Galaba. This was an airplane that flew from New York to Madrid, or at least it was supposed to, and it didn't make it. It got sucked into the ocean. The Bermuda Triangle. What is it? Why is it there? And what can we do about it? For almost 40 years, documentaries on radio, on television, and in widescreen motion picture theaters have recounted and accounted events in the Bermuda Triangle. Since the early 1970s, when people's refascination with the Bermuda Triangle took place, we still are no closer to an explanation of why ships and planes and, yes, even people have gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle. Tonight, The Phil Hendry Show attempts to rip the lid off the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle.
My name is Dr. Elvin Klagemden, and, fuck.
Why have ships and planes and even people gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle? For decades, for years, for even centuries. Do we know the answer? Will we ever know the answer? Tonight, The Phil Hendry Show takes on a mystery that no one else dare take on. The mystery of the Bermuda Triangle.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Elvin Ruth, and I am a principal at the University of Bath McGinnis in England. It is my area of study, that is, on natural phenomena, that has brought about this program this evening. And I hope that together we can find the answers to the Bermuda Triangle and why people go missing there and ships and boats and planes, God knows what. It was on a day much like today, beautiful day here, where I went to the airport to catch my wife, fuck me.
It's Kenny Slaggs, Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century. Kenny Slaggs, Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century. Kenny Slagg has helped thousands, and now Kenny is going to help you. Today, on Kenny Slaggs, Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century.
Hi, everybody. This is Kenny Slagg, and welcome to Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century. This is a very special one-hour program that I know you're going to listen to. Make sure you get a pen, a pencil.
Cut.
Kenny, you said no, you're going to learn this now.
You know, when I did it, I know I did it.
Let's roll from the top, or what?
No, I think the opens.
Let's roll from the top.
It's Kenny Slagg's Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century. Kenny Slagg, a man whose name is known to millions. He's going to help you today on Kenny Slagg's Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century, the three-track program helping yourself, helping others, and hopefully helping both you and others combined to prosperity in the 21st century. And now the man whose name is on the lips of millions, Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Hi, I'm Kenny Slagg. Now, we've changed some things here on the program. For those of you who have been with us before, you're going to notice that every time someone mentions my name, Kenny Slagg, you will first hear this.
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
That's a way of introducing me. It gives substance and gravity to what I'm about to say. And also because of the many strides and the many achievements that I've made in discovering the principles of abundance in the 21st century, it helps you realize that you are in the presence of a very serious, serious line of thought, and yes, a very serious man. You don't have to do anything special. If you wouldn't mind, bow your head, and just remember who I am and what I mean to you.
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Let's start off. Kenny Slagg's Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century are going to necessitate a pen and a piece of paper. You're going to want to write down all of these great ideas that we have for you and for your loved ones, for your business partners, for friends, for just about anybody you can think of. All of these wonderful principles of abundance in the 21st century will come showering down on you, almost like beautiful, refreshing snowflakes. Well, let's get started. You know, I've talked to you often about being abundant for yourself and being abundant for others. I've also talked to you about the necessity when you master Kenny Slagg's principles.
Cut. Let's go again. You're doing well, Kenny. Thanks.
Just pick up from,
when you master.
I've also talked to you about when you master the principles of abundance for the 21st century, you naturally acknowledge who gave them to you, and that would be me.
Cut. You gotta get on the...
We're a little loose on the cue.
I've also talked to you about our principles for abundance in the 21st century and what it means to you getting them from me.
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
I'm Kenny Slagg, and these are the principles for abundance in the 21st century. Boy, I sure hope you'll stick around because we've got some fantastic ideas for you. Things that I know you'll be able to use. Things that can enrich your life, and if they don't, things that will enrich other people's lives so you can feel good for them. One of the most important things about Kenny Slagg's Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century is recognizing that Kenny Slagg is abundant. You and your friends and family will gather around either the radio or the television and watch me as I disseminate these gems of wisdom. Be happy for Kenny Slagg. The fact that I have wealth, private aircraft, my own homes, and yes, a multitude of women who want to be with me, not sexually, but as friends. I have one woman who is special to me and does share what one would call the marital bed. Am I married? Yes and no. I married her in the...
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Church. Yes, I've got my own church, but that has nothing to do with you and nothing that you need worry yourself about. Kenny Slagg's Principles of Abundance in the 21st Century are principles that allow you to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and however you want. You, for instance, can form your own church. Or, if you'd like, you can form your own country, buy an island, start corporations, fulfill your wildest fantasies. When you're abundant, you can do that. If you're not abundant and you're unable to achieve those things, be happy for me, Kenny Slagg. That's the fallback.
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Happiness is very important to all of us. So I...
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
We'll take a break right now, and when I come back, we'll have more principles of abundance in the 21st century for you and yours. Stick around and join us, won't you? And make sure all of your friends gather around, too. I'll give you that very, very special post office box so you can send away as quickly as you can for the...
Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Book.
Kenny Slagg's Principles for Abundance in the 21st Century.
How do I begin to describe them? How do I begin to tell you what a difference it's made in my life? Well, I can't. There really is no way. I can only simply say to you that Kenny Slagg has meant everything to me. Everything to me.
Back it off, then.
No. Don't tell me to back it off. I love you, Kenny.
I understand that. Let's get him out of here.
I love you, Kenny. Kenny Slagg. Kenny Slagg.
Is back. And it's time for more of our principles for abundance in the 21st century. Have you ever stood in front of a bathroom mirror and been talking to yourself, maybe even been shaving, and suddenly you hear your voice begin to sound like this? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. I know you may be saying, yes, I have. No, you haven't. I really want you to tell me the truth. Have you ever stood in front of a bathroom mirror and heard your voice do this? No, you have not, even though I know, because I have that kind of sensibility, even though I know there are some of you out there who think you're funny, and you're going, yeah, Kenny, I have. No, you haven't, but I have. I have. I stood in front of a mirror one morning shaving, and suddenly my voice sounded like this. What do you do when something like that happens?
Kenny Slagg! Kenny Slagg!
Dropped to his knees and prayed. I prayed for a long time, and I realized the answer wasn't necessarily going to come from above, as it was going to come from, you guessed it, down below. It was going to come from me, Kenny Slagg. I needed to provide for me, and only me, the answers to abundance in the 21st century. So I went out and I applied those principles. And the next thing you knew, I saw my life getting bigger, bolder, larger, more rotund than ever before. Many of you have written and said, I'm happy for you, Kenny, and I'm glad that you have wealth beyond your wildest dreams. I can't seem to get that far. I have to say, you're not paying attention. In the Kenny Slagg Principles of Abundance for the 21st Century...
Kenny Slagg! Kenny Slagg!
...may be the only person that you know who actually makes money. You may not make any money. Many of your compatriots may not make any money. You may...
I don't know what to do.
This finishes the Kenny Slagg Principles of Abundance of the 21st Century program. We will go back and try and fix what's wrong with Kenny. And there's a lot wrong with Kenny. A lot.
Hello, everyone. My name is Winslow Tuffery. And here is my latest hit on Winslow Tuffery Records. This is a self-publishing vanity project, but I'm so very proud of it. Here I am.
From Russia with love, I fly to you.
Well, I first started working with Winslow early on in his career. I found him to be, he's a nice chap, but he's got a squeaky little... squeaky voice. He started to pass himself off as Matt Monroe, and he figured no one remembered him. Well, I know Matt Monroe, and I knew Matt Monroe. Matt's not alive anymore, but Winslow would pass himself off as a singer and do these biters airtime on American television, say, hello, I'm Winslow Tuffery. Here's my latest song, and you'd hear a Matt Monroe song. So he was very low human being with a low life condition, you know.
Faces and smile for a moment.
That's right, folks. I, Winslow Tuffery, sang this song and many, many others on a collection of Winslow Tuffery's Fine Moments. Winslow Tuffery's Fine Moments can be yours by sending a self-addressed stamp postcard. Hi, everyone. My name is Winslow Tuffery, and here is my latest hit. I hope you like it.
From Russia with love, I fly to you.
Yes, the beautiful voice of Winslow Tuffery can be yours. Send away for Winslow Tuffery's Very Exquisite Moments on vinyl. Winslow Tuffery's Exquisite Moments on vinyl can be yours by sending your check or money order to Winslow Tuffery, Exquisite Moments on vinyl, in care of this station.
I'm Winslow. Winslow Tuffery, and I'm very proud to be able to provide for you this beautiful song that I sung. That's me. You're hearing right there. I know it doesn't match my speaking voice, but guess what? Some things just don't work out the way you want them to. So let's just move past that, all right? And quit making your jokes.
And smile.
Winslow Tuffery. He's got it all. He's got the voice. And that's all he needs. That's it. That's all. That's all he's got.
Still my.
Here is Monk Preston, who worked with Winslow early in his career.
Right, well, I knew Winslow Tuffery. He's a nice boy, but he's a psychopath. He lies. Is he still trying to pass himself off as Matt Monroe? Well, we found that. Oh, are you bullshitting me? Is that right? Yeah, what's why we're calling you? No, he's not. He doesn't have any voice. Sounds you heard him. If you interviewed him, you know he's got no voice at all. He sounds like he's been castrated. You're trying to tell me that?
But then,
well, that's where we're going. Well, I can tell you that's not Winslow Tuffery. That's Matt Monroe. I worked with Matt Monroe early on in his career. He's got a gorgeous voice, and I think it's terrible that some castrated American is. I've got nothing more to say. Thank you.
Yes, the exquisite moments of Winslow Tuffery on vinyl.
To you.
I'm Winslow Tuffery, and that recorded phone call there from Preston, if that is in the commercial, we got to redo the whole thing. We've got to redo the whole thing.
No, he's a sorry freak. He's a rummy. He's a drunk, you know.
Foreclosures, foreclosures, foreclosures. Real estate has never been this much fun. Kevin Coneal's Real Estate on the Line. Foreclosures are us. And now, everybody, Kevin Coneal.
Hey! Hey, let me tell you, the foreclosure market is hot. It is hot. It is hot. It is hot. Audrey's with me. Audrey knows. Audrey's been with me all of these years. And when I say foreclosures are hot, I mean that people are being thrown out of their homes left and right. You know, all of the foreclosures that are out there right now are the cause of people who have not been able to pay their mortgages. These are people that cannot pay. They will not pay. They must not pay. They don't have any money. And even if they got some money, I don't want them to pay now because I'm ready to throw them out on the street. I'm ready to throw them out onto the street. I'm going to put them in the street. I'm going to put their clothes in the street, even if it's my own mother. That's right. You want to know why? Audrey, why don't you tell them?
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin. It's because...
You know what? I'll take over from here. Audrey, you've been working too hard. I've had this girl out on the road. She's been hitting the road for I don't know how long. She's been making bids. She's been placing bids. She's been creating bids out of whole cloth. She's been bidding on properties that don't even exist. That's why I finally said to her, why don't you come in off the road? Why don't you put your feet up? Why don't you get yourself a glass of water, a glass of milk, get yourself a tuna fish sandwich, some fucking thing. I don't know what to do.
Kevin Coneal, foreclosures on the line. We'll be right back. Kevin Coneal and Audrey will be in your town very, very shortly, and I'll tell you something. We'll be there, and I will be in good mental health. I will be in sound mental shape. I'll be fine. I'll be okay. I swear to almighty God, please don't bail out on me now. If you got tickets, please don't ask for refunds. Please don't, because I'm okay. That was a momentary lapse. I didn't mean to hit her. I really didn't mean to hit her.
Kevin Coneal's Real Estate on the Line.
Show, yeah. That is the world famous Phil Henry Show. You are listening to music of Insomnia from Camelot. I mean, Camelot Insomnia.
Yeah, did it get the name of the band wrong?
I don't give a sweet JC.
You don't give a sweet JC, huh?
No, I don't, man. I don't give a damn.
Well, I can't say as I give a damn either.
Yeah, still gotta respect the music because it sounds.
All right, now listen. I want you to listen to this. See, this music, Phil, is very, very much reminiscent of a time. And again, I want you to be all very careful.
Look, Morgan, if you start going on about the white race again,
how dare you?
That's what you do every time you hear music like this.
Phil, I am trying to say, excuse me, I lost my voice today, by the way, being in that studio with you. I was with Phil over at LA Sound and, where were we today, LA Studios?
Yeah, we were at LA Studios and don't want to talk about it.
Well, I'm so sorry. Oh, the big star.
Hey, why don't you want to talk about it?
Because it's just a voiceover game. So what happened? You got a cold?
Yes, Yes, as a matter of fact, my throat got a little bit... they had the air conditioning. Hold on for just a moment. Bud, hold on, would you please?
You want to turn the air off in here?
Yes, turn the fan down, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, for God's sake.
General, you know, I try to have respect for your rank. Try to have respect for my rank.
Well, I don't have respect for you because you're ranked.
You know something, Robert? If you weren't an African-American who's already undergone centuries of torture and brutal-a-doodly.
Are you saying brutalization?
Yeah, I'll do what you mean.
Yes, brutalization. I'd backhand your black...
Oh, my God. All right, let's watch it, okay?
You thought, Miss Gray, if you weren't such a dumb white woman...
How dare you?
What is the point you're trying to make?
The point that I'm trying to make is that that band Camelot and that song Insomnia has the very elegant and operatic... you might say the elegant and operatic soaring notes. That's the word, notes. All right.
Well, that took you long enough time. Note, you mean like ABC? You mean like do, re, mi, that kind of note?
ABC?
I meant to say do, re, mi.
Yeah, I know that one. Do, re, mi. Is that one of one?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Do, re, mi. Yeah. Then there's a few others, too.
Yeah, there's a... Wait a minute. I know it. No, wait. I know it, man. There's a...
I'll do it. I'm the singer. Do, re, mi, la, fo, fu, si. Right?
No, do, re, mi, la, so, fa, ti, do, right?
Are you guys nuts or something? That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right.
Wait a minute. Do, a deer, a female deer.
What the hell?
Hold on, that's the song from Sound of Music. That's the only way I know how to do it.
You know, I know that one. Do, a deer, a female deer. Phil, you take it.
Ray, a spot of golden sun.
Me, a name I called myself.
A long, long way to run.
A long, long lay.
Oh, my God, a long, long way.
Jesus, Henry, what a one-track mind you've got. Long, long way to run, right?
Yes. Now I do it again. I'll do it. Doe, a deer, a female deer. Well, go ahead, Phil.
All right, well, what's with the doe, a deer?
You know what? I'm giving it. I'll do it my way, all right?
Just let her do her thing.
All right, start off.
Doe, a deer, a female deer. Go ahead.
Ray, a spot of golden sun.
Me, a name I call myself.
Far, a long, long way to run.
So, a needle pulling thread. What comes after so?
Do, re, mi, fa, so.
Oh, la. A note to follow, so.
Tea, a drink with jam and bread. That will bring us back to boop, boop, boop. Do, a deer, a female. Yes, now I know, now I know. So it actually is supposed to do this. It's a...
God, well, you guys are all acting very, very strange. Now, Mr. Sonny, you feeling all right?
I'm feeling... What's wrong with you guys?
You guys are acting all weird, man. It's going like, yee, yee, yee. God, especially you, Margaret.
I was enjoying the lilting lyricism and the beauty of the moment. So it goes, that will bring us back to do, re, mi, fa.
So.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
God damn.
You need some hot tea, Margaret.
Yes, I do. Anyway, why were we doing that?
I have no idea. You got me. Somehow the show started that way. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. I don't really know what we have in store for you today other than to say we did, yeah. Margaret and I went into town today because we were both employed doing voiceover. And it was great to see you out there.
Well, it's always wonderful to go out to the wonderful people there at LA Sound, LA Studios. What is the name of that?
I think it's LA Sound, and I think I carved it up and called it LA Studios. Or maybe it's LA Studios, and I carved it up and called it LA Sound. But they're over there on Cahuenga.
Yes, they're very nice people and very professional. We had a very wonderful time, and that's all I'm going to very well say about it.
Well, what, you got to tell us what the project was.
Yeah, give, man. What's the show?
What do you mean, give? I'll tell you when I'm going to tell you.
Say, what is it with all you people all of a sudden? They're telling you can't tweet nothing out? Can't tell them, you know, they're playing a cutesy poo and close to the fest and playing footsie with it and everything like that.
What do you mean playing it close to fest?
I didn't say close to fess, I said close to the vest.
Yeah, maybe you're talking about Fess Parker, some deal like that.
That's what it sounded like to me.
No, not close to Fess. I don't even know Fess. Close to the vest.
Here, to answer your question, General, we're not really playing it close to the vest, if you want to put it that way. It's not really playing close to the vest. What we're doing is we're essentially, I guess you could say we are. Oh, it's not us. It's the studios. It's the people that do the. It's the people that do all of the planning and the producing. They don't want anybody tweeting crap out. They don't want anybody saying, you know, anything. They want to keep it all very quiet, you know?
Yes, because that project you worked on over the last, I don't know, a few months, the Bill Burr project, right?
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to tweet anything out. You couldn't say anything. Next thing, I saw a thing in the trades, which I do read religiously because my husband's an entertainment attorney. All right?
Yeah, that's fine, Margaret.
Yeah.
Well, don't sit there staring at me like I'm just another guy that you're meeting over here at the corn dog stand, all right?
Well, Margaret, let me tell you what. If there was, and I mean this with great respect, but if I was to expect to see you anywhere, it would be a corn dog stand.
Yeah, it is. Well...
And what does that mean?
Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
How dare you? You take that back now.
I take it back, all right?
Well, I mean that...
Never mind. What do you mean you expect to see her at a corn dog stand?
I think you know what I mean.
Oh, my God, are you talking... You know something? When the word cornhole...
Margaret,
let's just take a break right now. Can we do that, Bud?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Then we have Bob Bakey in?
Yeah, we got Bud. Got.
Calm down, Bud, calm down.
Get Bob Bakey out.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
I that's the last time I ever discuss anything having to do with cornholing...
Okay, fine, Margaret, thank you.
When he said corn dog, naturally my mind wandered.
All right, sports fans, I'll tell you what, man, what a day, what a time, what a day it's been, what a rare mood I'm in. I'm almost like I'm in love. I don't know how that goes. Anyway, let's go to Bob Bakey. He's got the traffic for us. Bob, how's it looking?
I'll tell you, without the outbound side. And every time you turn around, you got a man both hands. He's got his legs out, spread out wide, and gone downtown. I went downtown and saw a man that got the clown. If you got the clown, you want to got the clown, go down to Ringling Brothers coming to town here in L.A. That's Ringling Brothers, got the clown. Today through Labor Day, Bob Bakey traffic.
All right, so having said all of that, I am very, very grateful that you guys are with us. So, yeah, we had a good time today, and, God, those are just great people.
Well, I think Sherry Stoner, she's a wonderful producer and writer, and, of course, all of the wonderful people that are involved with you over there at the studio and all of the other things that you do in the voiceover field. I have not been that involved. I have, as you know, Phil, only been a singer.
Margaret, you know, you started the program today with that whole white people thing.
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to bring it up if it's going to make a big thing.
Come on, Brothers, man. You got to stick with it, you know?
Yeah, go ahead. You got to stick up for the white race. Finally, somebody's doing it.
But if I hear you going down that road one more time...
Well, I got Miss Gray gets to.
Because she's doing it in a... It's not racist, right?
I should say, how dare you even begin to associate me with all of the scum out there that would call themselves white pride, and I have nothing to do with those imbeciles, all right? When I talk about proud, white, Northern European music... Excuse me for just one moment.
Margaret, you all right?
I think so. I don't know. That was a tough one. That's, there is a searing channel of gas that goes from my colon... Well, thank God I'm a woman who knows how to conduct herself in genteel society. Otherwise, I think most people would be grossed out by what I just said. These people here... Notwithstanding.
Margaret, I don't see how anybody would be able to handle that.
Handle what?
There's a channel of gas that goes from my lower colon.
Well, it does, all right. I have a very healthy diet. I eat grain-rich, green-rich, and Greenwich is actually the way to say that.
Well, you eat Greenwich food.
I eat Greenwich health foods. I eat everything. Whole foods, crisp, very fresh and crisp things. So it all begins to decay in my gut and comes up like swamp.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing.
She's crying. What's wrong?
It comes up like swamp gas and...
It comes up like swamp gas, so what?
Oh, it comes up like swamp gas, so what? Do you know what it's like to have your gut boiling over as if it is a swamp?
Most people just have a stomach. My guts are a swamp. A swamp.
Yeah. All right, we understand, Margaret. All right.
No, you don't understand. I can tell by the...
All right, Margaret, I don't want to hear about your guts turning into a swamp if you don't mind. So anyway, today we were out involved in some projects in town. We got back into town. Now, one of the things that I did notice, and I was trying to talk to Dr. Jim Sandler about it a few days ago, when I came back from vacation, even though I had, and I wouldn't say that I was eating garbage, don't get me wrong. I mean, we were eating very, very good food. I wasn't eating fattening food. I think I had one dessert the whole time. But I did a lot of swimming, like I was telling you, did a lot of running, and...
Well, you did a lot of exercise, and you're burning off the calories. You got to get your ass out there and shake it.
I understand that, General, and that's what I did. And I was very happy to see that when I got back from... from the desert, I saw that my weight had not gained. I hadn't gained 1 pound. As a matter of fact, I'd gone down about 3 pounds. So,
and what do you attribute that to?
I attribute that to, as I was mentioning to you guys earlier, I attribute that to the fact that I was exercising. And, you know, you cannot, I'm telling you right now, you guys, you cannot overestimate the value of exercise. It will help you. Everybody, you know, they write me, I don't know, emails. People will say, you know, Phil, how did you do it? Could you tell me how you did it? And I've told people, I said, well, it's 2,000 calories a day. That's for sure.
All right, so you're saying 2,000 calories a day.
Yes, 2,000 calories a day. But on top of that, you have to get that exercise in. And that also means that you have to get in, I don't know what you want to call it. You've got to get in the cardiovascular stuff like that. So whatever you're doing... Make sure that you're mixing in really good, hard efforts at exercise. And that includes...
What are you talking about cardiovascular? Speak some English, okay?
Cardiovascular is on account of when you breathe.
Yes, cardiovascular...
On account of when you breathe. Wow.
Well, that's what it is, you know. Steve Dooley is a guy that we have talked to at odd times about exercise. Steve has begun a weightlifting program. Now, you know Steve is the husband of Bobby Dooley. And we get Bobby on the show all the time, and I thought it'd be fun to talk to Steve for a change, just a change of pace, and get to talk to Steve and find out how he's doing and give us an idea as to his weight training. Steve, you've been lifting weights for a long time, right?
I have. Most of the time I've done what I've done, and I've tried to do the very best I can with it.
Steve, this is General Shaw. I know that you don't really speak the English language in any sense that...
What do you talk about?
Well, I mean, every time we talk, it's your wife is there, and everything from you is like just, blah, 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 blah. That's what you sound like.
Yes, Steve, I think it bears mentioning that...
Well, I'm in the gym now, and I'll tell all about it.
Okay, look, I'll tell you what you do, Steve. Tell me every day, Steve, when you go into the gym, what is your regimen?
All right, first I'll squat over it, and I'm going to try to squat it, and then I'll do a sit-up.
How many sit-ups do you do?
I'd say.
How many? Well, you don't have to yell.
Are you all right, Steve? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Bobby going to come in here in a minute. Then all bets are off. All bets are off. Yeah.
Well, can you ask Bobby to just let you have the phone?
I try, but you won't do. But I do a squat. I'll squat over a golf ball. And
here you go again with the squat over a golf ball.
I say that because that's something you ought to do.
What's the idea of squatting over a golf ball?
Well, you get down low.
Are you trying to squat over the golf ball just to see how low you can get?
I'm going to take the butt cheeks and go lift it up.
Guy's trying to squeezing it. What about that?
Yeah, man, that sounds pretty sick to me.
You guys did numbskulls, nincompoop. You guys got mental midget. And
all right, okay, look. Forget about squatting over a golf ball.
Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to walk out of this interview in about 2 seconds if I keep hearing this jive turkey talking about squatting over golf balls, you understand?
General, I not talk bad about you. You not talk me.
What, are you an idiot or something? What do you mean, I not talk bad about you?
I'm just talking. All right, so I'm going to get up. So what I do is I do squat.
All right, so far what I've been able to get from you, Steve, is that you do squats.
Yeah, I do a lot of squat. And
these are squats over a golf ball.
What?
Are these squats that you're doing over a golf ball?
No, I have done one squat over a golf ball, the other's not.
One squat over a golf ball and the others are not?
Yeah. Then I go on the weight machine, and you got to do 10 curls of bicep, 10 rep on a chest, 10 rep on a leg. Here's how it sounds. I'll get on it right now.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
I know. How much weight are you lifting right there?
Well, I'm not lifting any weight at all. I just sat down and made the sounds of what it would sound like, but I haven't done anything.
Wait a minute. Do that again.
I just said...
You didn't lift any weights there.
No, I just was making the sounds.
Would you please lift some weights so we can hear what it sounds like?
Well, I just told you. Here we go. This will be the leg machine. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Ow!
Ow.
Hello?
Bobby?
Oh, hi, Phil. This is Bobby. Steve. Steve, it looks like Steve might have hurt a hamstring. Are you all right?
No.
Steve's probably stretched a hamstring.
Well, wait a minute. A minute ago, I was listening to a guy going, yeah. And then I heard some guy go, ow. Now, are you telling me with a straight face, before God and man, and everyone listening, that that's your husband?
Who am I speaking with?
This is General Galen Shaw.
Oh, General, yes. Yes, Steve, I think, pulled a hamstring. What happened, honey?
I don't know.
He must have pulled a hamstring because he was doing so well. I was admiring him over there. I was just leaning against the wall and watching Steve working the leg machine. It is very exciting to watch him do that, and sometimes I find myself overcome. I just go, oh, God. Oh, God, look at that animal. You know, Margaret, well, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, being married to an older man.
Don't worry about it, honey. I felt that way plenty.
All right, fine. But I saw Steve, and I went, oh, God, look at the animal on that machine. And then I heard him. Are you all right, honey?
I'm about to do it. I'm okay.
Isn't that? He's back. Hey. What a butch dude you are.
Miss Rennie, I'm okay. I just felt like I pulled a groin. I felt like something went up in the groin and went up. I can't get any clearer than that.
All right, I understand.
So what are you going to do? Continue doing this?
All I want to know is, the first thing I want to know is, how do you do the cardiovascular?
What?
How do you do your cardiovascular?
I don't know. You mean talk about running?
Yeah, about running and everything. Working on the lungs.
Well, I'll run in place a lot of times. Here's how I'll go out and do that. Here, Bobby.
I'm going to hold the phone up so you can hear my husband as he's running. Go ahead, honey.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. All right, yeah. Okay, so that's just me running about 5 feet. Now,
that's your cardiovascular, huh?
Oh, yep. Now I'll get back on here. Now I'm going to do the chest machine. Ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready, all right, as long as you don't pull a muscle again.
Hey, don't worry about it, General. I know what I'm doing. Get a load of him.
I know. General, just listen to my husband. Listen and learn.
Hey, hold on for a minute. I was in the Army, okay? I've done all kinds of physical training. I don't need anybody telling me how it's done.
Just listen and learn. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, here's the chest machine. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ow! Fuck it!
Hold on. Let me have the phone. Steve, are you all right? Phil, he may have torn a muscle this time. I'm very concerned.
I just want to be clear. Was that him?
Was that him who?
We just heard someone go, ow! And then we heard the F word.
Yes, that was my husband. But I don't think he went, ow! I didn't hear that. I heard more of a very manly, Steve, are you all right?
It hurt really bad.
All right, Steve, are you going to be able to get back here? Because Phil and the other people, they're waiting on the phone to hear you.
All right, I feel good.
Look, Dooley, just do us a favor and go ahead and take care of your injuries. We don't need to hear you now. And let's see, the chest. Are you going to do the bicep curls now?
Yeah, I'm going to do a bicep. Oh, I get it. You think because I hurt myself. You know something? Part of physical training, Phil, I want all the young people that are listening right now, and I want you too, Bud, and you too, Robert, especially to listen in. You young people, when you do physical training, yes, you will get hurt, and you could get injured horribly. And you may walk around with a limp. You could walk around holding on to it. And I think you know what I mean. You walk around with a cane or a crutch, you might even have to have one wedged. But whatever you do, don't ever give up on your weight training and on your cycling exercises. Here, I'm going to now try the bicep machine. You ready? Here we go.
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
Wait, hold on, Steve. What?
Is he sure he can go on?
Is he sure he can go on? That's the question.
Yes, sir. Shit.
God, Phil, speak much?
Okay, is the man sure? I thought I used proper English.
Sounded good to me.
No, not in my neighborhood, no.
No, we don't talk that way around where we was.
Yeah, okay, you guys talk really good, I forgot. So are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You know, we're not dealing with a pussy here, okay, to use your lexicon.
Well, I don't know. I've heard the man twice go, ow!
That's what you say. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, this is the bicep machine. One, two, one, two. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's about ready to go ow again.
Yeah. No, I heard that. Oh, no, I'm not. I feel great. Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Steve, you all right?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be...
Go sit in the car, will you? Put some ice on it.
You know what? Yeah, you guys, with the whole posturing you do, Ms. Dooley, you know, I have great fondness for you and Steve, but I'm telling you...
What did you just say to me?
I think you know what Phil said. He says you do a lot of posturing.
Look, Ms. Dooley, you and Steve try to come off like you're hot stuff, and there he is squealing like some little diapered chimp going, ew! You guys ought to just butch up and live, be who you are, not who you think you are.
You know something? I have never in my life been spoken to that way. I'm the president of...
Yeah, we know. The Western Estates homeowner...
No, the Homeowners Association. You are a breeding Lloyd. You're not static, but you are ever expanding. You are ever, Oh, I hate it.
So thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. We've decided here on the show that when anybody hangs up on us, we hang up on them. We'll just pretend like it was the normal, you know.
Yes, it was very nice having you on, Bobby. So great talking to you and Steve. You're just both so, oh, so wonderbar. And all of that and a bag of chips.
Yeah.
All right. So what'd you get from that?
I didn't get a damn thing. What do you mean, what did I get? You're the guy that wants to talk about the exercise.
All right, well, here's what I did. And I think it beats the hell out of what he did. I went swimming.
Yeah, you talk about swimming, Mr. Henry. Swimming's really hard.
Yeah, you told me one time I almost passed out, right?
I did. I almost, I took a swimming class in college, and I had to take, I can't remember. We had an Olympic-sized pool there.
Now, what school was this?
This was Pasadena City College. This is the home of KPCC that everybody listens to. Well, that's where I went to, you know, junior college. And
well, so you didn't go to college. You went to the one they call the high school with ashtrays, you know? Is that a thing you do?
Yeah, that's what I did, man. Okay.
Yeah, okay, man.
Well, all right. But, I mean, I took... Look, all I'm telling you is this swimming class I took. Now, what is it, 50 meters or something?
I think that's the length of an Olympic pool, yes.
What do you mean about 50 meters?
I don't know. Whatever the hell it was, we had to do four lengths. I almost died. I remember crawling out of the locker room, and I crawled all the way to this front lawn that we have in front of the school. And if you've ever been to PCC and you go down Colorado Boulevard and you look at the administration building, there should still be those big lawns out in front of that administration. But that's where I laid from about 10 o'clock in the morning until I think about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I couldn't move. I was dead. I was dead meat. I was a dead man. And I'm here to tell you, it sucked all kinds of you-know-what. So... that was my last real competitive moment with swimming. But ever since then, I like to swim. I just don't want to swim in record-breaking time if it's all the same to, you know, everybody and their uncle. So what happened was, essentially, was this. I eventually left college, and I kept on swimming. I learned the butterfly when I was in... You know the butterfly stroke?
Yeah, well, the butterfly is the one where...
What you're talking about the butterfly? What is this,
did not call it a swimming stroke.
It's a swimming stroke. Yeah, you got to keep your feet together. It's brutal, man. I learned how to do that, and I know how to do it like three times, and then I'll die. And then, I mean, I will sink to the bottom of the pool. But I did some of that, and I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world. If you want to exercise every single muscle in your body, and you want to do it in a pretty, you know, efficient way, swim, man. Swim, baby.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Phil, for that tip. If only you were the kind of guy who could really live up to your words and, you know, bulk up, butch up, bulk out, rip out, get the big biceps, the big legs, the big arms, even though you say you have the big...
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Jesus H. Christ, the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Don't forget about a bag of BSP. I'm going to say get a bag of BSPs. No, get a backstick. Is that Roland Martin there on News One? What a fat tub of guts this guy is.
Monday through Friday.
Anyway, never mind about Roland Martin.
So anyway, get yourself a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And while you're there, pick up something in the online store. And then while you're there, link up to the Phil Henry Show YouTube channel, The Real Bud Dickman. And then while you're there, watch it. And then while you're there, get scared. And then while you're there, pass out.
World-famous Phil Henry Show will continue in just a moment.
Jesus.
But, I don't know, Bud. I mean, you know, I can teach you how to talk only so much. It just is, you know.
Well, what does that mean?
I think you know what it means. All right, so, no, I mean it, Bud. I can teach you how to talk, but...
Yeah, teach me.
Well, you know, Phil, those that live in glass houses should not thrust stones.
Well, all he said was teak him.
Well, that's a big difference between teach and teak.
You know, I did a memo. Never mind. I'm sorry I said teak, Bud.
Yeah, you did the memo. Ain't nobody going to listen to it.
I know. You don't listen to a memo. You actually read it and then follow along. I can teach you, Bud, only so much, and then you're just not going to make... you're either going to be a good announcer or you're not. And when you're sitting there talking the way you talk...
Yeah, you don't talk too good, man, be an announcer. What are you talking about, man? I talk way better than you.
Look, Dickman, all we're saying is you can't be a professional announcer. Just look at me, you know.
Yeah, you know, as we say, people that live in glass houses should not thrust the stone.
Oh, well, your ladyship. Shit. You know, Margaret, there was a woman that talked real good just like you, and she was that broad that married that guy that had to abdicate the throne of England, and they went off to America and joined up with Hitler. Now where are they? I'll tell you where. They're cooling, and they don't smell too good, like the man said. They probably don't have much left on their bones, but she's probably still wearing that cheap dress. Ah, forget it.
Whatever it was you tried to say there, General, I thought you made a very noble effort at whatever it was.
Yeah, what were you trying to say?
Margaret, with all this la-di-da.
I'm trying to say, as I did at the beginning of the program, if you go back to that song, it's called The Wake. No, not The Wake. It's called... That song that we were listening to was what, Phil?
That was the Camelot song, right?
Yes, it was called Insomnia by Camelot. The song bespeaks a time in ancient northern European lore. Here it is here. When the people of the northern European climes were looking to consolidate their gains as the tribes and the tribals and all of that. Now, I'm not a white supremacist. I'm simply saying that when all of the hobbits, you know,
You mean the hobbits? That's all made up.
I know the hobbits are made up, but they're also rooted in reality. The hobbit... Phil, get that look off your face.
What are you saying?
You've seen Lord of the Rings. I'm saying Lord of the Rings is not how it was for white people, but it sort of was because the hobbit represents... Don't say anything.
Margaret, the hobbit didn't exist.
I know that. But the little people with a corn cob...
Yeah, well, little people with a corn cob. Yeah, the only thing those little white people had in common with regular white people is they smoke a corn cob pipe, some of them.
The only thing those little white people... What?
They were little white people, we'll give you that.
Yes, they were little white people, and they had hairy feet. Now, what does that have in common with today's modern northern European whites? Well, the hairy... I don't know, for God's sake.
You know something, Margaret? You started down a road, and it's got a very black end to it. You started down a road, and at the end of that road, there's a guy waiting to jump you.
Yes, and what?
You started down a very dark road, and at the very end of that road is a guy in an overcoat and nothing on underneath. How's that feel?
God damn you to hell.
Well, you're the one going down...
All right, wait. Let's just break it up. Whatever it is you're trying... Every time we play some song by some metal band that has some kind of northern European flair, like, what was it you said about that last band?
It was beautiful music from the windswept lagoons of Switzerland.
We talk about lagoon in Switzerland. They ain't got dirt.
Yeah, lagoons are all from the jungle area.
And how do you know that?
Well, I mean, it stands to reason.
Yes, it stands to reason. What do you mean a lagoon in Switzerland? They've got lakes in Switzerland.
In Switzerland. There you go again. See, you know nothing of this.
Margaret, what we're trying to find out here is what is it with you and the northern European white people?
Phil, don't you dare. I am a card-carrying liberal, and I am a believer in the equality of all people. I am simply culturally interested in how the white brought together the music, the, you know, playing the lute and prancing.
Yeah, here we go again with that Zamfir flute.
You know, I heard what you said after the show, by the way. The Zamfir flute is a pan flute. It's not a skin flute.
Well, the...
And you said nothing, Phil. You stood there.
What do you want me to say? We were off the air. We're just talking in the hallway.
Well, the general said to me, you know what, Margaret? You can take your pan flute and stick it where all the other skin flutes go. Go to hell.
Oh, Margaret, come on.
Margaret, come on.
Margaret, come on, honey. I heard him call me honey.
Just let her go. We got to split anyway, okay? This show has been an abomination before God and man. Margaret, we'll see you in the hallway. I promise we won't be talking at all about...
I don't want any more talk about the skin. You know, you're really disgusting.
You're the one that brought up the pen.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. See you later.
And the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry.